Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 4 of season 5. This one is called Silicon Avatar. Directed by Cliff Bohl, teleplay goes to Jerry Taylor, story goes to Lawrence V. Conley. It aired back on October 21, 1991. After the Crystalline Entity, which years earlier killed the colonists of Omicron Theta, attacks another colony, Picard joins forces with a scientist named Dr. Marr to hunt it down. Modi Operandis is going to be here to talk about this one, so right after this, me and Modi are going to go deep on the Silicon Avatar.
I'm Commander William Riker.
Commander, Dr. Kyla Marr.
I'm glad you're here.
You were on the surface during the attack?
That's right.
Remarkable. You and your group are the only known beings ever to survive an assault by the Crystalline Entity.
We were lucky.
I should say, and your android. He was there too.
Lieutenant Commander Data was there, yes.
Well, shall we get started?
Be glad to show you to your quarters.
Oh, Commander, a chance to talk to survivors so soon after an attack? I've been waiting years for this. I don't want to waste a moment more.
This is going to sound a little bit crazy, but watching Silicon Avatar this time, it was the only time I've realized what the title means.
Okay.
Does that surprise you?
Silicon Avatar.
I guess I didn't think about it. But I thought the Silicon Avatar meant the Crystalline Entity. And I don't know why. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
But it clearly represents Data in this episode.
Yeah. That's weird, though.
It's ideal. I mean, it's he encompasses the Avatar portion. More right. than the silicon, maybe, although I don't know what Data is made out of, and I don't know if the Crystalline Entity is made out of silicon. So, Modi, thank you for coming on. What did you...
No problem.
Were you excited that the Crystalline Entity from Season 1 has returned in Season 5?
I had completely forgotten about it, so I guess so.
I think it was a mistake to bring this thing back. That doesn't really have any impact on the episode because I think that it's not really that important of a aspect. But
it isn't. I don't know.
It feels, I guess. It's something to kill, basically. It's something that you can kill without feeling bad because it barely seems to be alive at any way.
It's the whole Crystalline Entity thing is woven in between the entire plot though. Cause without the Crystalline Entity, there's no like having Data be involved and having the woman Marr with the lost son and all that stuff it's woven within the thread of that particular enemy for the show. So I mean it does need to be that it can't be something else.
Right. I'd agree with that.
It's the only thing it can be for this plot.
It's not like prominent really in the episode. They see it twice, right? Like you see it at the beginning and you see it at the very end and that's pretty much the extent of it. It's not like they're chasing it around the galaxy really, which they kind of are, but you don't see that aspect of it.
That would cost a lot. You can't show that twice.
No, that's
more than twice.
This is, folks, this is like cutting edge, instantly dated 1991 CG work here. It looks sort of amazing in the Blu-ray resolution, like way better than it ever looked in standard TV resolution when it was just a blurry mess. But it did not hold up. So what'd you think of Silicon Avatar as an episode of TNG?
I don't know about this one. There's a lot of missteps.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We just finished talking about when we had the episode come out a couple of days about Ensign Ro, where I said that I liked it a lot better the second time I watched it. This one is almost the exact opposite. I was more impressed with it the first time I watched it, and then I was like, the second time I watched it, it's like, this is a little bit ridiculous. Like, this is just absurd. And you know what I think the biggest problem with it in a weird way is, outside of the other problems that it has, is... the whole first and second act where the crew are stuck in the cave feels completely pointless.
To show. There's no need. They don't need to be there that long.
You
at all.
They should have just had the cold open, get like, oh, we're getting a distress call from that planet we left Riker on. They go there and they sort of dig them out of the cave and they're like, the crystalline entity has come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no reason to waste. They spend like 10 minutes in the cave, and that's time where you should be getting to know Dr. Marr.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, they spent all this time with Riker and, shoot, I'm going to forget her name now.
Carmen.
And it doesn't matter. Like, there's all this, like, little flirting going on. It's like, okay, but Riker's not the focus of this episode. I mean, his pain comes around a little bit later.
In a terrible way.
It's not for good.
We'll talk about that later. But yeah, they're building this relationship with Carmen, which is so bizarre. It's definitely the most cringeworthy sexual double entendre that Riker has ever done.
Dessert's my favorite part of dinner too.
she makes a hell of a dessert, and Riker just licks his lips and
my
favorite part is dessert. my wife was curious. She's like, I'll ask you. She was watching it and she asked me the question: do they know each other? Do you think they know each other?
Yeah, I think they've had a fling in the past.
Oh, really? I didn't get that at all. I thought it was just Riker.
No, it wasn't their first time they met.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I mean, how long has Riker been on this planet?
That's true, too. It's the way she's like, oh, there's that bottle of wine I know you brought.
Oh, that's
like,
true.
I feel like they have some history.
That's true. That's a good line to imply that there's just some history. All right, so I'll go with that. I'll correct myself. I'll tell my wife I was wrong. But, Carmen... that whole thing, if it's really just to set up the Riker turn later on,
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. I don't need to see the very Godzilla-esque monster chasing people running, stuff that they do here, which feels, A, it's not shot well enough to feel correct. And B, it's just pointless. Like,
you an idea of how it works, though. Like, if you just see... You hear crystal entity, and in the previous one, we don't really see how it works.
No, I don't think you ever see.
You never actually see how it does its thing, but apparently, it cuts like a nine foot wide swath of destroyed planet, like just desert.
Yes,
and then all of a sudden, it does the entire planet in like 20 minutes.
Yes,
like how long were they in that cave? Like, I don't know, maybe a few hours. But seriously,
I think it's just one of those things. You know, if you hear from the ship, like, Worf is like, oh my god, there's like some huge electromagnetic storms like ravaging the planet. That's all you need to know. You know, you don't need to see this thing appear and then shoot beams out and somehow eat the planet. But I really do think that the cave sequence is just a mistake. There's no reason for that to be happening, because it ties into my other major issue here, which is the character of Marr goes through way too many stages in this episode to make any kind of sense whatsoever. And losing 10 minutes of her not getting screen time wouldn't have saved
it a lot,
but it hurts it. Yeah. It hurts it like tremendously. So what'd you think of Dr. Marr?
She's a crazy person.
Only at the end, only in the last like 3 seconds.
Well, okay. So I kind of wish at some point here, Data had some type of emotion chip in himself here, because like, he doesn't realize what he's doing when he's playing these little like voice clips from her son to her.
Yep.
Like, you don't think this is a bad idea, Data?
I think that's,
at all.
I like, think
just,
that's
just
the...
think about it for a second. I know you can't feel emotions, but just think about that for a second before you start doing it, Data, because it's not going to end well for anybody.
I think that's the best part of this episode. The as Clay calls it, Data gets a cold as ice moment, which is kind of becoming a staple of Data episodes. Which I really like. I hope that they don't start to wear it out too much. But where Data's androidiness is like the climax of the end.
It hinges upon it. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I think it's really effective here. Like, I love the way this one ends. The ending is almost
good enough.
Well,
she comments on it too earlier in the episode. It's like, you don't feel anything. I can be as mean as I want to you, and you don't feel a thing.
Yep.
And you, you like, yes?
That's absolutely right. But the fact that Data does not realize how much damage he's doing by playing these logs, you know,
when he burns her at the end, though, too. Like, he has no idea what he just did to her.
Right.
With burning her at the end there. Just, he has no idea.
Your son is would be very, very disappointed.
Dead right now.
Yeah. I think it's terrific.
Right.
And
she went to kill herself 2 minutes after he left. Like, he's like, oh, well, okay, that's an interesting response. Make a note of that.
Never see Dr. Marr ever again. That's why. But I really... But the problem is that takes... 70% of the episode to get to that point, where Data starts to be the Silicon Avatar of the title.
Yeah.
And they've talked about this before, where he's they mentioned this in Data Lore, that he has the memories of Omicron Theta.
I forgot that part, so I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I was like, wait, what? He did what now?
Right.
Like, when, where is this coming from? Like,
in some ways, I think it's the right thing to do. It makes more sense for Data's creation. You know, it kind of gives Data's reason of being like a little bit of a boost, where, you know, Soong was big in making androids, but it also was the only way he could preserve a society in some ways.
But, okay, so the entity shows up, destroys Omicron Theta. So, but Dr. Soong put these memories in him because they're going to get destroyed? Like, he didn't know that. I mean, okay, I get him being this vault for all the memories of the planet, but, like, he didn't have foreknowledge that he should be doing that, unless it was...
Oh, I think they might have said that he did do that. He did it because he knew that they were going to be destroyed. I think that's what the logic is. I don't know how Soong got away in that case, and why he didn't take Data with him. But I mean, the other thing I was thinking, just to go back to the cave thing, would be Data survived the crystalline entity the first time because he's not alive, or he's not alive in like an organic sense.
Right.
Why couldn't he just be outside while the crystalline entity was attacking? And that would at least give like a little bit of her belief that he's somehow responsible, credence.
They could, if they have done that, that would actually give them a reason to be on the planet then beginning.
What do you mean?
Like, okay, so you say they just disregard all that stuff on the planet that happens at the beginning. But if instead of him, like, he like seals the door from the outside or something like that, and Data stuck outside but survives because, you know, he's Data and not alive.
Right.
That would have actually given them a good reason to be on the planet there, as opposed to wasting 10 minutes how it ended up, actually.
Yeah, exactly. That adds a little bit more oomph to what's going on. I still think it's unnecessary because it's distracting us from what the real story is here, which is...
Right.
This was a script written by Jerry Taylor, who's one of the sort of top writers at the show at this point. Mm-hmm. And a theme is emerging with Jerry Taylor stories. They all seem to focus on middle-aged people who are going through some kind of life crisis, which I don't know if that says anything for her state of being, but that is a very obvious theme in all of her episodes. She had Half a Life. She did the Suddenly Human episode.
Hmm.
She's got this one. It just seems to be a theme.
Interesting.
And so let's go into, you kind of agreed with me. I just think that the major problem here is the Mar character goes from hating Data to being Data's best friend to being totally insane in the span of like 15 minutes. And I think the biggest mistake out of all of them was having her lose her mind at the end and start to talk to Data as if he was her son.
That was pretty terrible. Yeah.
I could understand her sort of looking at Data and just being like, Remy's in there somewhere. That's his name, right? Remy? I think that's
Remy,
his name.
Yeah. Remy, something like that.
I didn't need her holding Data's hand being like, Remy, like, let's go to the supermarket or whatever she starts talking about. That was a bridge too far. What'd you think?
No, definitely. The face grabbing was, too much.
Like grabbing him by the nape of his neck, like squeezing his neck.
Like, yeah, he doesn't look anything like him, dude. You don't have to... Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it, but I don't get it.
Right, it's an idea that I just think needed to be fleshed out a little bit more. I'm fine with her not liking Data and then sort of befriending him because she realizes that he's the best way to get in contact with like the memory of her son, which makes perfect sense. And Data's reaction to it makes perfect sense because Data doesn't understand what he's doing, which is devastating and sort of like neat of a way for the story to go. So what'd you think?
They could have done something at the beginning somehow to let us know she's off kilter a little bit more. I mean, they do let us know she's off her rocker a little bit because she was all excited about the entity showing back up again. And like to Riker, who's like, I just lost my girlfriend.
Yes.
So
take it easy.
You shouldn't be this excited about it. But
I mean,
so she was off her rocker a little bit there too. But they didn't. It wasn't not in the right direction though. She just seems like eccentric at that point. But later on, it turns into like a full blown like bonkers thing going on.
Well, I think that she, if they had brought up earlier the fact that she was more invested in killing the entity than studying it. That would have been a nice hint to drop early, because she's basically vengeance disguised as a scientist, which is an interesting choice. I don't know if we've ever seen that on the show. So her whole reason for doing this science is to find and destroy the crystalline entity, which I think she reveals a little bit too late. And also, what could have been a strength of the episode is that I think she has a point here. Like, I don't understand Picard's logic. Do you?
I wish they would have done more with that, because I was thinking while I was watching this, it's like, either let Picard say we should be studying it, we should try to make peace with it, it's just a whale, you know, eating
krill.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah, cuttlefish.
I don't know which whale does that, but
he says cuttlefish. I think krill is the word that they were
looking
for.
Krill is what he's thinking of, yes. Yeah. But cuttlefish would be like giants. Like, they're not small. They're not, yeah. Okay, fine. That cuttlefish aside, give him some opportunity to be wrong about it, though, because the way it ends up, he's like, no, we need to study this, and then he ends up being right somehow. But you know what? They don't really get into whether or not Picard is actually right here, because, you know, you end up agreeing with Mar at the end. You're like, maybe that was the best thing to do.
Right.
And you don't actually get into this interesting idea of, do you protect this monster or not? And that's an interesting thing to explore.
They kill it before they come to an understanding about what it can do. You know, like,
exactly.
Like, if there's no...
I wish, yeah, if they had made peace with it and then she killed it anyways, that would have been a better ending to me.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, but you don't know, like... I can't think of any conceivable way the show would get around the fact that this thing seems to need to consume. It's basically Galactus. It's like it consumes planets to survive.
it powers itself by consuming planets so they can go to the planets and consume them again. Like, it's its only reason to exist, it seems like.
Right.
Just give us some conversation there so we can understand it a little more and then have her ice it. And then it would be a good ending, actually.
Yeah, because as it stands now, I think Picard has no leg to stand on in this argument. Like,
yeah.
And if the episode had flipped it around and been like, this is kind
Proven
of a,
right.
a stupid
yeah.
thing to believe, that like this, what is basically an instrument of death for like planet-wide, at a certain point, self-preservation comes into play, right? If like,
yeah,
if a grizzly bear comes into your house, I think you have like an ethical justification of killing it. You know,
it's yeah, like, yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. I was thinking, like, Picard, if you approached this thing and if you had caught it while it was destroying that ship that you were listening to it destroy, would you have done nothing to stop it because it's
this
an
is what it
you
does.
Shouldn't kill?
Right.
Like, if you saw that, you would be jumping in there to try to stop it. So how is that different from, you know, letting it continue to destroy other civilizations, possibly?
Right.
Just because you weren't there on time, you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know, the context does not make sense to me as far as Picard. She, yeah, like you said, he doesn't like to stand on generally. Now, if they had done something again to communicate with the crystal entity and prove Picard right, and then Picard and Riker's like, I'm sorry, I was wrong,
right,
I was wrong to do this, and then she blows it up anyways, that would have been top-notch ending.
Right. That's certainly a much better ending. I mean, I think that it's weird because it's not, I don't know if it's bad writing, because the Picard character is in character. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, true.
It's kind of a flawed, it's kind of a character flaw in a weird way. It's like this, because it's not like this, well, it's unrealistic because it's a crystalline entity, but I mean, it's like if you were talking the same about like nuclear war or something, like if it just wiped out civilizations.
Yeah,
Picard's argument does not make any sense at that point. So it's a weird thing of he's being totally in character and he's also wrong, and the episode is not willing to stick with that at a certain level.
It could be a timing thing again here too. Just not enough time to explore those ideas.
Yeah,
because I feel like there's a draft of this out there where it is ending the way I describe it here, because of the way they set up Picard as like, we need to study this thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, as it is, I feel like they would have started writing that draft and then found out like it's really tough to justify killing whole planets worth of people, regardless of like what the reasons are.
Right.
It's really tough to justify that, so you can't really win people over to be like, oh yeah, we should study this thing. because they're still going to say, you know, let's just kill it anyways. And
they,
yeah,
they're making the argument that one creature is equal to literally billions of creatures, which is so crazy. And it's just bizarre. I mean, it ties into, I'll bring it up now, the reason I think that Riker agreeing with Marr and saying that he wants to kill the crystalline entity is a storyline that makes sense. The problem for me is that Riker comes across as only wanting to do it because it killed the woman he was trying to have sex with. And that seems,
deep down, that's what's going on, yeah.
That seems so stupid that I wish that we hadn't seen that relationship, because then at least it gives Picard someone who is not a crazy person who is also coming up with an opinion like that.
Yeah, if he had just been on the planet, didn't do anything with the Carmen stuff, and still came to the same conclusion that he came to, it would sit differently with Picard, I think.
Right.
But because he's like, well, you're emotional, kind of thing.
Yeah, and Picard just says you're emotional about it. It's like, and Riker gets mad, but Picard is also right that Riker's only doing this because of Carmen on the planet.
And that's the impression it gives us, yeah, because of the earlier stuff.
Yeah, and it's like because there's a moment there for a great Riker, you weren't there kind of speech.
Yeah, exactly.
And that just doesn't happen whatsoever, which is very upsetting.
It's this isn't my first day on the job kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is what he gives him. But it's not, given that they spent so much time earlier on building up the Carmen-Riker relationship.
Desserts.
There's no other way, you can't convince us of anything else. You wouldn't have shown us to that if it didn't matter. So because they chose to show us that, we know it's supposed to matter.
Right.
And so, yeah.
I don't want to spend 10 minutes with these people that just have nothing amount to anything at the end.
Yeah, if we're going to meet you on your terms story here, we're going to treat that as it matters, even though it really doesn't.
Also,
And then Riker's just going to deny it. He's a denial that it's not affecting him kind of thing, I guess.
Was that the same set as the final mission in the caves? Was that the Wesley's last episode?
Yeah, it's the same spot. And I was thinking that it's I was just thinking, oh, they're in Northern California when the first pans it.
This is right. Yeah. Every planet exterior looks like California. It's remarkable. That's funny. At least they went out into the California desert in Final Mission, to do a little bit of different shooting.
That is true.
That's tough. It's I don't want to give short shrift to, I do think that as a Data episode, the concept here is really, really strong. The Data aspect as a unknowing avatar for somebody else.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really a great idea. It just does not stick for the variety of reasons that we're talking about. The Picard storyline is distracting, or Picard's sort of mentality is distracting. And the Mar is just a crazy person. What'd you think of her performance?
I don't know. I was thinking that too. I'm not too sure if it was very good, actually.
It was a little broad, I thought. The scenes where she's making faces at the beginning when Data's throwing out suggestions in the conference room.
Yeah.
Was a little bit
it reminds me a bit of Pulaski in a way, I think.
Yes, I wrote that down.
She's disgusted towards Data, and there's a lot of similarities here. Disgusted towards Data at first, but grows to respect him, kind of thing. There's a lot of similarities here.
Yep.
And it's kind of overacted somehow, maybe.
Yeah. I'm not too crazy about it. I like guitar. Data playing the guitar.
That was great. Yeah.
Which he should be playing a different instrument every episode, sort of.
Right.
He doesn't need to stick to the violin.
Sure.
He's playing some beautiful flamenco guitar, and it was very nice. It doesn't really add anything. It's just kind of...
Just nice character thing.
Yeah, just 20 seconds of him playing the guitar, which is just sort of intriguing.
It was just so that Brent Spiner can get his music lessons comped by the studio.
He can put that...
Do it once on camera, then they'll pay for my guitar lessons for the next 3 years.
Deduct that from his taxes. It's... there was something else I wanted to say about Data. Oh, I can't remember. Oh, it's kind of another... It's kind of an episode of Data callbacks. We have the entity, right? Uh-huh. Omicron Theta and all that involves. We also have the memories of the colonists in him. And we also do a little bit of a callback to the fact that he can imitate people.
Mm-hmm.
Which we saw most recently, I think, in Brothers, when he takes over the ship as Picard. Something I think that they should do more with, kind of.
It's another thing of, like, they're not using him to his full potential generally. And that's the season one thing. But now they've started to, but they're like, there's a lot more he can do now.
Yes.
And he's still not using him to his full potential generally.
That's true. I mean, it's I love his storyline still, but it's just, I hope they don't get to a point where they're too samey, where he is just, as Clay would say, cold as ice at the very end. Even though I think it always works. I think it's always great. I hope they just don't they don't beat that into the ground too much.
Yeah.
Good ending. What would you rate the ending here? Did you like the ending, or were you like, was it not enough to do anything for you for the rest of the episode?
I think I've elaborated to it before. It doesn't prove Picard right or wrong in his views that they should save it.
Mm-hmm.
The way it ends up, you're doing is just communicating with this thing. You don't know if it's saying, I'm going to kill you now. I mean, you just made it stop.
Yeah.
And made it interested in you for a minute, but, you know, it doesn't really prove anything that it's not going to kill you in 2 seconds. So the ending does not really do a whole lot for me. The weird things with Mar afterwards, with Data, the cold as ice Data, you know, you're so very sad now. I did like that quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
So that ending, that part of the ending did work for me.
Yeah, I agree. I love the very, very ending with Data and Mar. The destroying the crystalline entity kind of sort of works. It's not, I don't think it's great. The whole time it was happening, this is really nitpicky, but I was like, why doesn't the entity just leave? Like, if it doesn't like what's going on, why doesn't it just, you know, shoot off it?
Yeah.
It apparently can move at warp speed, so I don't know what it was doing. It's not nearly alive enough to feel sad when it's blown up, kind of.
Well, right. They don't give it any personality besides just a maw of just destroying planets. So had they given it more personality, we'd be inclined to feel something for it. But we don't. I mean, all we know is that it's a, you know, genocidal being.
From season one. Yeah.
From season one. That's all we know.
Right.
So, yeah. Doesn't really do anything for you.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's too bad. There's some decent nuggets, I think, in this episode. And as I said, the second time I watched it, I thought it was much worse than the first time. I don't know why I enjoyed it the first time. I think I didn't think her performance was as bad as it is, and the writing that they do around her wasn't as bad. But anyway, I'm going to play an audio clip. Me and Modi are going to come back. We're going to give our final ratings for the Silicon Avatar.
How long will you live, Data?
There has been no predetermined limit placed on my existence, Doctor.
I'm glad. As long as you're alive, he'll be alive. I need your help, Data.
In what way, Doctor?
Like you did before. Tell me that you understand, Rennie. That you know I did it for you. Because I love you. Because I wanted to give you peace at last.
I do not find such a file in your son's journals, Doctor. However, from what I know of him, by his memories and his writing, I do not believe he would be happy. He was proud of your career as a scientist. And now you have destroyed that. You say you did it for him. But I do not believe he would have wanted that. Yes. I believe your son would be very sad now. I am sorry, Doctor, but I cannot help you.
We've talked about shitty TNG titles in the past. I like this one. I think the title is a strong title for the show.
It is good. I think the title does sound... It's a cool-sounding title, and... it wasn't what I remembered. And when I saw the title coming, I was like, this is going to be terrible. But then I actually remember what it was. And I was like, okay, this is still not very great, but not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I don't know if bringing back a season... I don't think the show at this point in its lifespan needs to bring back season one things.
Yeah.
It feels... The show feels way more evolved than those original concepts were. And they feel a little bit silly when you just tack them into a season five episode. Not something I'm very interested in.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, like we said earlier, it needs to be this crystal entity for the entire plot to hinge upon.
Yes.
You know, Data and Mars evolution here, but it, as far as a character, the crystal entity is not very interesting.
Right.
should not have been brought back.
The space raviolis had more personality than the silicon... I keep calling it the silicon avatar. The crystalline entity. Just too bad. So we're going to give our ratings and final thoughts for this one. So I'll go first here. I think you went first for Ensign Row. I think this episode fits like sweetly into my two scale, my two rating. A lot of plot lines that should be fixed. There's a nugget here that I think is good, but it's not a good episode in and of itself. I really love the Data beats here. Data not knowing that he's doing great harm is a fantastic idea. And outside of that, it's not a great episode. It's calling back a season one creature I don't really give a fuck about, and it's bringing a character in Mar who is too scattershot to have any sort of emotionality to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would go with that too. I think a two is probably a good score for it. There's a lot of, I don't know. Yeah, again, season one creature that we don't have any attachment to. We're not like thrilled that the crystal entity's back. It doesn't matter to us.
Right.
Mar is not at all. You don't ever feel any kind of empathy for Mar, really, because she was such a dick to Data at first.
Yes.
And she's never really feel attachment to her.
And she's only using Data. Really.
Right. Yeah.
Like It's weird. She hates him. But she starts to like him when she realizes that he has all the memories of her.
Right,
dead
she likes
son.
Him for what he is, not for who he is, kind of thing. Yeah.
So I suppose the avatar portion is like kicked off at that point, where she just starts to see him as Remy.
Right.
And yeah, that's an interesting idea. It just doesn't do it. So you're going to give this guy a two, huh?
I'll give it a two.
Yeah, I think that's fair. This is the first week episode.
Great.
The first week episode of season 5, which has been off to a roaring start so far, which has been interesting. But every 26 episode season is going to have a few missteps, unfortunately, along the way. That's just the way it is. Well, thank you, Modi, for coming back onto the show.
No problem.
You guys enjoy the content. You're on YouTube. Like and comments. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. I appreciate all the comments. A lot of comments have been rolling in. I don't know why. A lot of them have been very kind and very thoughtful for YouTube, which is like a mind-blowing sort of thing to stumble across. But I appreciate very much people are writing some really interesting takes on what they thought. Some nice disagreements about ratings and things like that. And all very good stuff. So, guys, thanks very much again. I'm going to be back in a couple days with Disaster, I think, is after this, which is
what a unique title.
Which is a Poseidon adventure in space, which everyone always loves. So, guys, I'll see you later with a couple days from now. I'm going to be back with Disaster. See ya.